Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Today we are continuing the 16th chapter of Prema Vahini, and Bhagwan has blessed that we have Professor Venkatraman again with us. In the previous chapter of Prema Vahini, Bhagwan was mentioning about samskaras, and the 16th chapter also is an elaboration of the same concept. In fact, Bhagwan goes in detail to explain what it is and how to deal with it, and how should one prepare one's life for it. So with prayers at his lotus feet, let's begin the edition of Prema Vahini Satsang. So let me now play for you the first segment of chapter 16.
మానవుడు జీవితమును వ్యాపారమును జరుపుతూ సంస్కారములను సంపదను మాత్రము కూడబెట్టును. ఒక వ్యాపారస్తుడు రోజు, వారము, నెల, సంవత్సరము వీటిననుసరించి జమా ఖర్చులు వ్రాసి చివరకు లాభమో నష్టమో ఒక్క అంకెతో తేల్చినట్టే జీవిత వ్యాపారమును తేల్చుకునవలెను. అనేక సంస్కారముల జమపట్టి పెరిగి పెరిగి కడకు మిగులు ఫలము అతి స్వల్పమే. జీవితపు తుది ఘడియలో ఆ స్వల్పమునే జ్ఞప్త్యందుంచుకును. జన్మ పొడవుననూ చేసిన పనులను స్మరణకు తెచ్చుకున్న ముఖ్యమైన ఏ రెండు మూడు విషయములో కనబడును. ఇవియే జీవితమునకంతకు ఆధారం. అయితే తానాచరించిన కర్మలు, పొందిన జ్ఞానానుభవములు అన్నీ వ్యర్థమైనవని దీని అర్థం కాదు. వాటి పని పూర్తి అయినది. వేలకొలది రూపాయలు వ్యాపారమున పెట్టినా అందులో కొన్ని వేలు నష్టమే వచ్చినా వాని గుండె జల్లుమనును. కొన్ని వేల రూపాయలు ఆదాయమే ప్రాప్తించినా హృదయము చిందులు త్రొక్కును. జీవిత విషయం కూడా ఇట్టిదే.
As man goes through the business of life, what he ultimately accumulates is samskaras. A merchant at the end of a week or month or year calculates his debit and credit to arrive at the net figure which gives him his total earnings. It is the same with the business of life too. At the very end of life, it is the small quantity of experiences that come to one's memory, those that persist to the very last moment, the two or three that wells up into one's consciousness when one recalls all that has happened in life, are the real sustainers, the genuine achievements. This does not mean that all other acts, knowledge and experiences have been a waste. Forgetting them only means that their work has been accomplished and their value realized. When business is done with thousands of rupees, one's heart freezes if a loss of a few thousands is sustained, and it leaps in joy if a few thousands are gained. Such is the story of the business of life.
So, I think so many people in today's world are familiar with the business of business, the business of their professions, the business of their art, the business of their craft. But here Bhagwan is sharing with us the business of life. And in fact, as I was listening to this, one story that Bhagwan narrates came to my mind. Bhagwan was mentioning about the best friend in one's life. And Swami said that this person had three friends. And so he had taken to bad ways, and consequently he had to face a court case. So he went and asked this first friend for help, and the first friend said that, you know, he will not want to associate himself with all the crimes that he has committed. He goes to the second friend, and the second friend says, okay, I will come up to the court, but I will not go anything further. I will not be a witness in the witness box. And then finally he goes to the third friend, and the third friend says, yes, your troubles are mine, and I'll be there till the end with you. So Bhagwan gives this example, and Swami says the first friend is the wealth and status, you know. So they will all just fall away when at the time of reckoning. The second friend, Swami says, is your family and friends. They will come only up to a certain point. Mm-hmm. And Swami says the third friend is your good and bad deeds, and they are what remain with you after your journey has come to an end. So I know there is something that Bhagwan is mentioning here which correlates to the story that he has mentioned, but I know there is much more to it, and sir can share his insights on this, please. Yes, sir.
You're tossing the ball.
Well, we have to listen to you before we can...
The way you say it, it looks like an ordeal. You have to say. Come on, man, give me a break. You see, we are looking at one paragraph of one chapter. Mm. But... we have to look at it somewhat differently in terms of the philosophy of Prema Vahini. The fact is that we go through many lives. So it is like going through many experiences in a long life, one life. There is credit and debit and so on. When we are born, we have no memory of the previous things. We just know we exist, and we say, this is all that is connected with me. And we have no idea of where we are going. But the past influences the present, and present influences the future.
Right.
That is always so. Even if you take astrophysics or geophysics and so on, that continuity is even more present in human life, because it is connected with spiritual currents and flow. So this volume is called Prema Vahini, and the main idea is that you must carry yourself across the flow of love. From love you are born, to love you must go. That is the sort of lesson we have to learn across the chapters. Next, I come to the moment when person gives up his life. There is an old saying that when many of the remarks made this, it's like this. Supposing there is a movie taken of our life from birth to death, and that movie is stored here in the mind. At the last moment, you will get flashes across your mind, and it will go at 10,000 times the speed of our life, or maybe even more. And things will happen, all sorts of thoughts will come to you, and the traditional belief was that whatever is the frame you see when you take your last breath, that will determine your next this thing.
Your next birth.
Birth. Mm-hmm. And in this context, in chapter 8, 13th sloka, Krishna says, whosoever departs the body chanting Om and thinking of me, he attains the Supreme. Simply put, if you remember me in your last moment, you will come which speed to me. But then, that is all right in a spiritual satsang session and all that. If you take the real world, things can be very different. So we have to realize how to interpret all this in daily life. For example, I think it was the 6th of August, I don't know whether 5th or 6th, 1945. The first atom was bomb was dropped. And they had two or three targets, depending on the weather. So at the last minute, they were asked to go to Hiroshima. That was only in the list.
Oh, that's interesting to know. They had two, three targets.
Yeah, because it depends on the weather and things like that.
Oh, my God.
If they can't see the place, then they can go and drop it somewhere. Because they didn't have such precise navigational equipment.
Mm.
We are talking of 1945, that's 70 years ago. So, there was a place called Ground Zero. I have been to the Ground Zero because there are conservatory, music conservatory. It still survived because it had, everything was blown off. It was made of steel and that is still warped. And the bomb was arranged to explode about something like 700 meters above ground.
Mm-hmm.
That is because of the shock wave. And then a fireball came. That fireball temperature was 8,000 degrees centigrade. And that is 2,000 degrees centigrade greater than the temperature of the surface of the sun.
Wow.
Mm. Surface of the sun is about 6,000 degrees centigrade. So 8,000. If you are somewhere there, you there was no way of thinking. There was no way of seeing this movie or anything.
Yeah.
So somebody can say, what's all this nonsense? It's not nonsense, but it is a practicality. At the same time, what is being said here in chapter 8, sloka 13, is also a meaningful fact, which must be taken in the context of our entire life. And so, the answer to that is, if your right now, let us say at the moment the bomb exploded, a man was trying to cross the road. He would be thinking of crossing the road safely and so on. You are not thinking of God, nothing. So you can say all this doesn't have any relevance. So the relevance comes from what Krishna says. If you have always been thinking of me, working for me and acting in this, even if you don't remember, all that you have done, I'll take into account and I'll cross you over. Now, in your cell phone, there is some background work always going on. We don't know about this, housekeeping and so on. That consumes a lot of power. And even in our desktop, it goes on, housekeeping and so on. And if you have been running your life, thinking of me all the time, automatically this can happen. It will come to you. And that was proved in the life of Gandhi. He said at one point, I am chanting the name all the time. It is going on inside me, like a clock working. The clock is not aware. We are not aware it's working. We just see the time and leave it at that. So, that was because he had a one-pointed focus on leading a life of Dharma. So that is one of the messages we must keep in mind. The other thing is, in fact, Bhajagovinda says, Samprapte sanite kale nai nai rakshati dukrim karne. And then he says Bhajagovinda. This Bhajagovinda must be by act, thought, beyond words and so on. The spirit of Bhajagovinda. And then, Swami also says satsangatse nitsangatam.
Yes.
The long and short of it is the best friends are God. It's God.
Yes.
Because
yes.
any other guy comes with a, what you call, agenda or whatever it is. So, we have to keep that in mind and lead a good life. And that does not mean a life which is devoid of what I call any meaningful activity. A lot of people say, I am doing puja and so on and so forth. That is not enough. You can't stay that. Take that as an alibi. I have to do puja today, so I won't go to office this day. That is not a correct way of looking at it. The value of your life is determined by how much you have helped others. And that is what is important. And I'll add just one more thing, because I mentioned the atom bomb. This year, the Nobel Prize for Peace was awarded to a group which said we must abolish nuclear weapons. But they invited for that function a lady, a Japanese lady, who was 13-year-old at that time. And I was also 13-year-old at that time.
When the bomb was dropped.
Yes, I was watching a cricket match in Karachi. Suddenly everybody was saying, see, there 8 o'clock was about 11 o'clock in India, the Karachi. The police commissioner, they said something. Somewhere in radio or somewhere they heard. We didn't have transistor radio and all that. And it was only later I understood what happened. This lady was somewhere. The whole school building collapsed. With difficulty she came out. And most of her classmates were dead. Two others came out. This was at the edge of the zone. They were not close to this. But they were all bleeding and all that. And then there was a stream nearby. And they dipped a cloth in the water. And they would come and everybody who was dying, they say, I want water. They just applied the cloth to their lips.
Oh.
And the whole day she was doing. BBC interviewed her. She talked very movingly. She now lives in Toronto. She's a Canadian citizen. And she says, I'll go on talking about this. And when you hear it, it is frightening. I mean, even under those conditions, they tried to help. They knew it is of no use. But how could we leave them? I have seen the entire museum and it is frightening. But the thing was nothing compared to this lady who was there. She said, why are we still having the bomb? It made a very powerful impact. And therein lies the fight between the mind and the illusions that try to capture the mind. And the friend is God. God is in us, the mind is in us, and the devil is also in us. So it's a battle of three. We must think of it in that way and realize that those lessons are timeless and they are also relevant even now. Especially with machines trying to eat the soul of man and so on. So how do we act in those conditions? That is what you should think of. And love is one of the most important ways of doing. If it talks about truth, nobody knows what is truth. In America, they have got facts, alternate facts, news, fake news, and so on. We are getting confused. But love comes with sacrifice. Sacrifice is very easy to describe. Well, I give you something and I don't ask for anything back because you and I are one. Have I confused you enough?
There's a lot to digest. But again,
but this is not fast food. It's not bad for you. Though I spoke fast.
No, there's still this question that remains. Why is the last moment of death so important? Like, why is it true that you can do what you want in your life and only in the last moment, if you happen to, by chance, think of the right thoughts, you are saved?
See, that is a good question. But there is one way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk from personal experience. You, let us say you're driving a car and you fall asleep and you must say, no, I have to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep going. So death is a kind of falling asleep. And if you sleep long and you say, where am I? How am I happening to be here? I know this because in 68 when I went, I stopped in a place in California. To see what is called the Yosemite National Park. There are three national parks. Yellowstone is one. There's something else, Grand Canyon, and this is Yosemite. I've seen the Grand Canyon and there. And those days cars were cheap. I had a driving license. But it was late. And I was very tired. And I was going to sleep. It was very difficult to keep awake and say I have to go there. And with God's grace I came. And years later, when I was in Kalpakkam, I used to go sometimes to Delhi and all that. That plane will come late, invariably. And it was an 80-kilometer ride. So the driver will say, I will have some tea. So go and have some tea. And then he has to drive in a lonely road all over. So I will go on talking to him so that he doesn't fall asleep. So here, basically, if I don't remember where I am going, the sleep of ignorance will come and wipe out my memory. It is as though I am traveling through time without any knowledge of my direction. Something like that. You know, you have to understand it in a larger context.
Okay.
This is where I am supposed to go. I am not supposed to get down from.
So,
otherwise, you know, it's like this. The attractions. One man is supposed to go from Delhi, Madras to Delhi, let us say. First station comes. Let me go out and stretch myself, have some tea, water and all that. Then the train goes off, you wander around. Next day, another train comes, you go. If you stop like that, you'll reach Delhi after 3 years. So we get sidetracked.
You have to be alert at the last
minute. So that you don't have to spend a punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare sayanam. Yesam sare bhavudustare kripya pare pahi murare. Those things have a meaning.
Yes.
No, so if thinking of God, for example, is the purest and the best thought possible for your last moment, is there no redemption for people who don't believe in a God, for example?
No. Krishna makes that very clear in this thing. You see, he says, I come in two different ways. I come via the Prakriti route. And I also come via the Atmatic route, Adhyatmic route. Prakriti route is you live in the world, you come through what you call turmoil, turbulence, seeming injustice and injustice, disparities, and so on. It is built into it. That is because of the gunas. But you are definitely above the animals. You can think and all that. Today I was listening. It seems if you cat sees its image in the mirror, it will think it is some other being. This is like the tiger story in Aesop's Fables. But if an orangutan, you put a dot here, it will reach for it. Somehow it recognizes that mirror image to be itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that same is true of something else, a small child, very small child. So how is it able to see the image as it? So these are, I heard a very interesting talk by a scientist, a mathematician actually, about all these things. I have to get hold of that audio and book. So how did this consciousness come from? There are all sorts of questions. And that consciousness comes via the Atma. So I told you in your body the gunas are there. They come from Prakriti. Gunas come from Prakriti. Krishna says so. But Krishna is also there as the Atma. So he puts the positive and negative forces within you. And that allows you to live. Both are needed.
So that is the path of Prakriti.
But then, inasmuch as actions have consequences, and actions can steer you away from wrong, and lead you into wrong directions, the atmic, what you call, compass must be there. That is the long and short of this. Don't forget to take the compass.
No, so the question still remains, like, so if there is somebody who does not believe in a God, for example, so they should possibly contemplate that they are one with the universal power or something like that?
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that comes after many janmas.
Mm.
But Krishna gives you credit for doing something positive. I don't believe in God, not because I don't believe in God, I just have no time for God. But I worry, let us say, about nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I worry about people, children in Africa dying in thousands, millions because of what you call tuberculosis. I ask myself, what is the reason? The reason is very simple. In the Western world, due to improvements in hygiene, they have abolished tuberculosis. It's simply not there.
Tuberculosis?
You mean sanitation is increased.
So in the Western
world. So if I make a drug, I must have a market. I can't sell it in America because the number of people dying there with tuberculosis is very small. Or for that matter, malaria. Whereas in Africa, millions of children die. So why will I make a drug and try to sell it in a country where there is no money? My market forces will say, don't invest money in this.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if I have a lot of money and I want to do some good, I will invest money in this. And Bill Gates was invited to give a talk, TED talk or something. He brought a big, bag. He opened the bag. There was a jar. He opened the jar. Thousands of mosquitoes. So he started that as a point to say, this is my point, and he has given a lot of money and so on. So automatically, without thinking of anything, you are trying to do good.
Okay.
Yes. That is because your heart, you want to help the other person, like the Good Samaritan.
Yes.
Then what Krishna will do is, he will slowly make you come up in life. And then at some point, many people say, I believe in truth. Their version or definition of truth is what I call limited, but that knowledge will grow beyond what is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately it will come to some kind of Advaitam, and from there, what you call beyond Advaitam is Paramatma, who comes in forms and so on and so forth. So he says, he gives a guarantee, I don't look at the bad record of anybody. I will let you come at your own speed. But if you have got a pointed goal, I'll help you move faster without any danger. So he says, I have no enemies. And then he also says, when you come through the Prakriti route, I will be sort of just watching you. But when I come from the Admantic route, you'll be very close to me. So from one side, I'll extend my hands. From this side, I'll try to push you.
Okay.
So this is it. And we cannot straitjacket God and say, does if you meet these conditions, you cannot make him into a mathematical equation.
Exactly.
It's a feeling. So those feelings are still there.
There's no merit in saying, I'm a believer and I follow God and lead your life the way you want. So
All such people, 90% of them follow this thing. They, what you call, are very corrupt and cruel. You can see that in politics, especially capitalism. All of them will swear by Jesus Christ. But if Jesus Christ still sacrifice, they won't. In fact, that thing happened in a lot of, Catholics in America. They have all come from Ireland, Poland, and all such places. And they are staunch believers in Jesus Christ. And Christ says, you cannot go, a camel can go through the eye of a needle, but you, if a rich fellow has not given a penny, you cannot go. All that they know.
Yes.
And when Pope said that, Pope, what is his name now? Pope Francis. They said Pope should keep to religion, talk about politics. He does not know anything about politics. They openly said that. And capitalism is God when it comes to life. And Jesus is God when you go to the church. Then that's what I call a calculated deception of the mind, self-deception of the mind. I remember in one of the rooms in our college, there used to be a board. The mind is very good at totally deceiving itself. So,
yes.
Those things are happening today.
Yes.
And therefore, we should not forget the substance of this. That is eternal, timeless.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, Swami here is not talking about whether someone believes in God or not. All he's saying is good deeds. And compassion, love, love is...
You know, the belief in God.
Yes.
Nobody asks the tiger to believe in God.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
In fact, there is a very short story by R.K. Narayan about a tiger that becomes very spiritual. Mm-hmm. So it goes to Guru. So one day the Guru asks the tiger, what is your idea of your God? And tiger says, my God is a super tiger.
Yes.
Its tail is so long, yes, it will go around the equator, mm-hmm, of the earth. And its teeth are so strong, it will take rocks and yes, crush it.
Yes.
And clouds can, the legs can pluck clouds from the sky, planets from the sky and all that.
Yes.
Guru laughs and said, you may be right, because God can take any form and appear before devotees, yes, and all that.
Mm.
So there is the feeling that, yes, if you resonate with God, He will come in any form and so on and so forth.
Yes. Yes.
You may say it's all right, but the people are also ordinary people. You don't talk high philosophy. You sort of excite them and motivate them to go into the right way. Mm. That's the whole point.
In fact, referring to Sai Prakash's question that, you know, what if I just only in the last minute pray to God, will I not get that redemption? And Swami gives that very humorous story of how that person had named all his children Rama, Krishna, Govinda, Gopala, and he thought that, you know, anyway, in any case, I will remember my children in the last moment. And finally, he's dying, and he calls Rama, Krishna, Govinda, Gopala, and finally, the moment he's dying, he says, who will look after the shop? And he dies.
Yeah.
So that is why Swami says...
There is another story. There is a lady... Her husband is in the corporate sector. She kept on saying, let's go on pilgrimage. She said, no, I have no time. After retirement. After retirement, he becomes honorary president of Rotary Club, this, this, and all that. And she said, you promised you'll think of God and all that. But now you have become this thing. He said, what do you mean, die? I am too busy to die. So,
yes,
this is all self-deception.
Yes.
That's...
So I think that's where a lot of, to get rid of this deception, a lot of discipline is needed in our life.
Ultimately, it is to make your mind function without, yes, contamination,
yes,
desires.
Yes,
the
absolutely.
The mind must be the instrument of service to society.
Yes, absolutely.
Rather, I mean, Kennedy said, ask not what America can, yes, do for you, ask what you can do for America.
Yes.
It's a meaning. You find that in almost... Most of the Benedictine addresses,
yes,
given by Swami on Convocation Day, ask not what society should do for you, ask what you can do for society. You are far more indebted. Instead of America, has made it society.
Yes.
Instead of, that means human society.
Yes.
What do I do? And any society which is not based on morals automatically becomes a plundering society and iniquity. Today,
yes,
that is the big problem in America. How are you going to gauge? Wipe out this iniquity. When your goal is selfishness,
yes,
it is bound to be there. Swartham, saprayojanam. Cleverly they are separated. Swartham is bad, saprayojanam is okay. Now that is a hocus pocus. But they don't know that. It is only Swami who has pointed out. And Jesus Christ sacrificed. And so that is what he must do for life.
Yes. I think we'll move on to the next segment because Swami elaborates more
on the same theme. Actually.
Yeah, on the same theme.
మరణ సమయమున జిహ్వేంద్రియ వాసన జీవితమంతయు రుచులు గుడుచు అభ్యాసములోనే గడిచినట్లు రుజువగును. మరణమాసన్నమైన తల్లికి బిడ్డలు జ్ఞప్తికి వచ్చి పుత్ర సంబంధమైన సంస్కారమే ఆమెలో బలిష్టముగా నుండెనని తలంపవలెను. తానాచరించిన అసంఖ్యాకములైన ఇతర కర్మలు అన్నీ మరుగుపడినట్లు రుజువు. ఈ విధముగానే జీవితములో అనేక సంస్కారములు అంతరించి చివరకు బలమైన ఏ ఒక్క సంస్కారమో నిలిచి ఉండును. జీవితము ఇట్టిదని తలంచక తప్పదు. అంత్య సమయమున స్మరణకు వచ్చినదే జీవితమునకంతకును ఫలము. కనుక చనిపోవు వేళ ఏ సంస్కారము దృఢముగా నుండవలెనను కోరిక ఉండునో దానికనుగుణంగా జీవిత ప్రవాహమును త్రిప్పుకొనవలెను. అహోరాత్రులు దానివైపే దృష్టి ఉండవలెను. మరణ సమయమున బలిష్టముగా మనస్సునందుండు భావనయే రానున్న జన్మలో బలిష్టముగా పనిచేయును. ఈ సత్యమునే మానవుడు తన జన్మ సార్థక మార్గమునకు దారిభత్యముగా భావించి జీవిత యాత్రకు బయలుదేరవలను. కనుక రేపటి నుండియే నిరంతరము మరణమును జ్ఞప్తియందుంచుకుని జీవితయాత్ర సద్భావములతో, సత్యవాక్కులతో, సర్వేశ్వర స్మరణతో, సాధుసంఘ సంబంధాలతో, పాపపు పనులకు కాని, ద్రోహచింతనకు గాని, ప్రాపంచిక వ్యామోహములకు కాని చోటివ్వక అంత్యక్షణము పుణ్యమయము, పవిత్రము, మధురము కావలెను. ఇట్టి క్రమముతో బ్రతికినన్నాళ్ళు సాధన చేయుచూనే ఉండవలెను.
ఇఫ్ అట్ ద పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ డెత్ వన్ యర్న్స్ టు కేటర్ టు ద టంగ్, ఇట్ ఇస్ ప్రూఫ్ దట్ థ్రూఅవుట్ లైఫ్ వన్ హ్యాస్ బీన్ అ స్లేవ్ ఆఫ్ ద టంగ్. సిమిలర్లీ, ఇఫ్ అట్ ద పాయింట్ ఆఫ్ డెత్ అ మదర్ రిమెంబర్స్ ద చైల్డ్ అండ్ సీక్స్ టు ఫాండల్ ఇట్, ఇట్ మీన్స్ the samskara of child love has been predominant in her life. It proves that all the other innumerable activities she had done have gone into oblivion. Thus, in life, what stands out in the end is one's samskara, which is stronger than the rest. One has to learn that this is what is life. The net result of all this living and toiling is what comes to memory at the last moment of life. Therefore, direct the entire current of life towards the acquisition of that samskara which you feel best for the last moment. Fix your attention upon it day and night. The feeling that dominates the moment of death works with great force in the next life. This truth must guide the path in one's journey towards a fulfilled life. Therefore, from tomorrow, always keep death before the eye of memory and engage yourself in the journey of life with good wishes for all, with strict adherence to truth, seeking always the company of the good, and with the mind always fixed on the Lord. Live avoiding evil deeds and hateful and harmful thoughts, and do not get attached to the world. If you live thus, your last moment will be pure, sweet and blessed. To ensure such a consummation, disciplined striving throughout one's life is inevitable.
So here, in fact, as I was listening to this, I was reminded of an article sometime back. It was published in a very reputed periodical. It was called The Five Regrets of the Dying. So this was basically an Australian nurse who had spent several years, nearly 12 years, doing palliative care. And as she was seeing all these people die and the kind of things that they were expressing before they left their bodies, she started putting that in a blog. She called it Inspiration and Chai. And that blog became very popular. And then she compiled everything into a book. And she called the Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And it's very interesting. The first one is, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected me to be. This was one regret. The second, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I mean, she was saying that so many people are finally deeply regretting that they have spent so much of their lives on the treadmill of just that work existence. They didn't do anything else. They only work, work, work. And the third is, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. Because people, they developed illnesses because they kept so much of their resentment and all that within them, and that is what they died with. And the fourth is, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. They felt that, you know, they didn't give enough time to the people, the loved ones and all that. And finally, I wish I had left, I had let myself to be happier. And she said this was the most common impression that everyone held. Everyone felt that, you know, they didn't make happiness as a choice. They didn't choose happiness to be a choice. You know, they didn't make the choice of happiness in their lives. And I felt everything is such meaningful. And now when you put it in the context of what Swami is telling, I mean, it makes so much sense about how we should lead one's life.
I would say, of course, my bias is well known. She said, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. That work which she talked about is rajas.
Yes.
So if she said, I wish I had not been a prey to rajas, I would have appreciated it.
That's the second technical thing, way of saying it. That's the technical
No, term. It is the prakriti way of saying it. I am talking about the other way of saying it.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
she is not familiar with these spiritual terms.
No, As Mahadev Desai said, there was God. One of the book Gita's translation, which Gandhiji read, was by some man called Shastri. That gentleman was insistent on seeing karma yoga in every sloka. It was so one day. Similarly, if I had said I didn't give enough time to my friends, I would say Satya Dharma Shati Prema as the friends.
Yes.
So my regret would be I wasted my life this way. So the point is, I tend to see there is some spark there. But if I had put it this way, I would have said spiritually I wasted my life. And that is not to be criticized. We have to go through a long process of evolution. For example, you see Abhimanyu die in the war. And each Janma, there is a destiny. Krishna says that was his destiny. So you can't change that program. And it will take a lot of time for you to refine. And Krishna, Arjuna gets angry. You call yourself God. You didn't do all these things. You have changed. And Krishna says, Sujit Swami's side story. And Swami says, I can't change. I don't know what is change. I'm changeless. It's you who have changed. So, and even earlier when he says, I won't fight and all, you fight. If you die, you'll go to Veeraswargam. He doesn't say you go to this. If you die, if, do what I say, that he says in the end. If you do what I say, I will absolve you of all sins. Aham tam sarva pape bhyavahi. Moksha-isham, asvacha, something like that. Because you say, you have already earmarked, signed their death warranty. If you don't kill, somebody else will kill. I don't care. I've got a lot of agents. But if you do it for me, and respecting, at the same time, the Puranas also say, Mahabharata says, when the moment Arjuna heard Krishna had given up the body, his strength was lost. That is because he was attached to the form of Krishna. And that is one of the mistakes that you make. The moment Swami says, why should I go to Puttaparthi and all that? I can accept that provided they say God is everywhere and act in that spirit. Whereas people come here, the moment they cross the Ganesha gate, they start thinking about this. Some people inside do this with the cell phone. I see fellows walking, all of them are doing this.
With a lot of humility looking down.
No. It seems that is one of the complaints about what is the latest eye model. It seems you have to do like this. They said, I'm used to the phone.
That's what,
something. So, all these are totally irrelevant. But these are the dangers. The attractions come. And so on. So, at the end of the day, it will take many janmas for you to realize this is not really my destiny. My destiny is that it will take you a long time to realize that you are going. Otherwise, you are going in a forest without any
kind. So, is that predestined or is it a particular choice of the soul?
See,
to accelerate his growth towards that.
No, it's not a question of a predestined. When I come to a stage where I am fed up with all these things, I don't want to travel, I don't want to do this. The time that I have, what is the good I can do? You feel uncomfortable if you have to sit through talks, this, that, and everybody says the same thing. Why should I waste my time? I go and do something else. That is not a casting aspersion. That way of life is not for me. Okay. My time is important, and I will see the place where I can say honestly, I have done something to please you. Whatever it is, not with money or something. Then your life becomes meaningful. For example, I will say, Doctors Without Borders, they are not utterly spiritual in the sense we talk, but they give their life. In Afghanistan, there was a grievous mistake. They were burnt and the hospital was destroyed and all that. But they were ready to do it. It's our duty to do it.
Yes, the organization, the group of doctors who call themselves Doctors Without Borders.
A lot of the American doctors went to Africa. They exposed themselves to Ebola virus and they prevented a lot of people from dying. So those are what I would call, they did not ask what is there in it for me. Yes. A lot of people do that. At the time of accident, yes, or thing, people spontaneously come to help.
Yes.
You see that everywhere, even amongst terrorism and all, yes, that, there are a lot of people come,
yes,
spontaneously. That means the spark of goodness in you. Divyatma,
yes,
Swarup.
Yes. In fact, I'm reminded of Mother.
I'll sell God at any second in the shops, in the Ghatgadi, in this five-star, yes, restaurant.
You know, talking about compassion and death, I was reminded of Mother Teresa, yes, where this biographer of Mother Teresa sees that she's picking up a dying man from the gutter and says, oh my God, I can't do this for $1 million. And Mother Teresa also says, I also cannot do for $1 million. I will do it only for Jesus. I can do it only for God.
She says, I won't do it for $2 million.
Yeah. Yeah. So ultimately, it boils down to whether our heart is working the way it should work, as Swami says, Hridaya is, if it has to be called, heart should be called Hridaya, then it should be Hrit plus Daya. If only there is compassion.
See, that's all right, but actually speaking, heart, if you identify with Atman,
yes,
then there is no question of hardness. I throw it away and throw the key away. I put it first in a cage and throw it away. That is the way. It is we who make a choice. And then it says, if you don't want me, I'll be a spectator, Sakshi Bhutam. So that there are certain things you have to go through phase. You see, a child, at some point it loses its teeth, then the teeth come again. At some point again it loses the teeth. And then you have to wear dentures and so on. So these are the ups and downs of Prakriti.
Very interesting observation made by Ramana Maharishi. I was just reading it a while ago. Mm-hmm. So somebody asks him about sanskaras, mm-hmm, and how, you know, what you do stick to you, possibly in this birth and across birth lifetimes. And he gives the analogy of somebody sleeping and waking up. So he says, when you sleep, you tend to get dreams of possibly what you did when you were awake. But the interesting point here is, you are neither the one who is awake or the one who is asleep. The sleep happens to the same person and the awakening also happens to the same person. So
that's true. See, one is called a sleeping dream, other is called a waking dream.
Yes.
In fact, there is
night dream and day dream. So as Swami used to say.
Yeah, there is one Upanishadic story. I think Swami has also told it. There is a fellow who goes away for some reason from his family and all that. And then he comes back, and just as he comes, one of his child dies. And the wife is angry. She shouts at him. And he says, you are not even shedding a tear. And that fellow says, I lost 7 children in my dream. Do I weep for them first and then weep for this, or weep for this and forget that? So that is highlighting this. And there is another story related to Janaka,
yes,
who gets up from this thing and says, who am I, who am, yes, I, and so on.
Is this true or is that called, true? Yeah.
That is not true, this is not true.
Yes.
But that which is beyond both this, which is yourself, that alone is true. So there, yes, are lots of these, what you call, small chinna utaranam kind of,
yes,
thing.
Yes.
But I can talk about it. Do I realize that this is a waking dream?
Mm.
If I realize this is a waking dream, then I'll say I have to conserve my resources and spend it for that which is important.
Yes.
That is the whole point. It's like making an investment. If I go and make an investment in a sinking ship, that is good luck.
Mm.
One way, bad luck the other,
yes,
way.
In fact, as you were mentioning about the last moment of Mahatma Gandhiji, I was just reminded of also Professor Kasturi, Swami's biographer. He left the mortal coil in August 15th. And I remember Mrs. Padma Kasturi, his daughter, narrating how in June of that same year, 1987, Swami was giving discourse, and he was in the room, and suddenly he just started telling to his Padma Kasturi's son, actually Ramesh Kasturi was there. He said, "Kasturi is dead. Mm-hmm. I am Atma. Go and tell everyone, Kasturi is dead. Mm-hmm. I am Atma. And don't ask me to take food from tomorrow. Don't ask me to do anything. Kasturi is dead. I am Atma." And from that day, he didn't want to take food. He didn't want to associate himself with the world. He became so quiet. And Swami,
who? Professor Kasturi.
Professor Kasturi.
No, Swami told Kasturi, is it? No,
Professor Kasturi said he had that moment of whatever, awakening, a few months before he passed away. This happened in June and he left in August. Professor Kasturi.
But talking of that, one day, when I was vice chancellor, I had to take Swami to the college on Sundays. He will give discourse and all that. One day he told me, many years ago, I was not there. So Padmanabhan was driving the car. Suddenly he said, reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, go to the general hospital. And then he went there. And then he said, Kasturi, how are you? He opened his eyes. Swami, so he said, ask somebody to bring some tumbler of water, put some vibhuti.
Yes.
And poured it into his mouth.
Yes.
And closed his eyes. Off. Mm. He told me this. He said, I remembered suddenly, that is his way of putting it.
Mm.
So I went there and then came back.
Yes.
Because I had to come back with him in the car, along with the chancellor, the chancellor.
Mm.
There are many acts which are inscrutable.
Yes.
One thing Kasturi recorded, when he went to that, what is called Konasima, the east coast of Andhra Pradesh, as it was then, Rajahmundry and such places.
Yes.
So Swami went to small villages, mostly villages, and he talked to them. And one day Kasturi said, Swami, you are going and talking about Atma. All these are farmers. What will they know?
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, I am planting the seed for a birth that will take after 9 janmas. So unless somebody plants the seed, that will not be, there will be no soul awakening.
Mm-hmm.
After I read that, in somewhere I read it, I used to come for festivals and all that, and all the primary school children will be sleeping because they would have been ready to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and come there. All of them will be sleeping. And understandably, Swami will be giving a discourse on Atma and said, okay, they are getting the medicine, sleep. So there are many things which are inscrutable.
Yes.
So I can't, I won't, and I will not try to understand reading. I'm not a commentator.
Yes.
I want to take lessons which I can follow in my life. And I have to think a lot about it. Jignasu is needed.
Yes.
And unless that is there, that thirst to know,
yes,
this thing will not follow. Otherwise I become what I call a narrator.
Yes.
And we go from that to this. Yes. The most important point is, how do I apply that lesson in today's world?
Yes.
Now that has become a very big point on the economic front, on how you spend money, on investment and what you call things that benefit society and so on. You take healthcare. Swami's hospitals are not news. But one fellow comes and he stays there for 3 hours, they charge 50 lakhs and also.
Mm.
This is daylight looting.
Mm.
And now today, there is an allegation that anything you buy from Amazon and whatever the other fellow is saying are a lot of fakes. That's the case against them. So at some point, you don't mind committing murder if you can make money.
In fact, as you are mentioning about the
hospital. So there are these forces, and yes, those forces get amplified by technology and all that.
Yes.
I mean, as somebody said, one man in the Stone Age wanted a letter of recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Flintstone took 1 month to carve that letter of recommendation. It weighed 10 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
So he walked for 1 kilometer. I mean, you have to carry this, go to the next village's letter, threw that thing, and damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a job. So these are what you call funny stories. But today, I can manufacture news, I can roast news, I can toast news.
Mm.
I mean, this is terrible.
Mm.
They are literally trying to buy. That is one side. Other side is technology is pushing out of jobs and taking away your soul. Gandhi was very clear about it. He said, I will not allow that to happen.
Yes.
So, that is the way. Gandhi was the one man who lived the Gita in politics. He said, that is where it is needed. Because he attracted hate. Because the devil will try to buy you, as it is there in the Jesus story. So many people make a Faustian bargain. That is, okay, devil, I will do what you want. What will you give for me?
Hmm.
That is how the injustice strives.
When talking about news and healthcare, I was reminded of once I was talking to the director of Swami's Super Speciality Hospital in Bangalore. And I mentioned to him that, you know, there is this other hospital in the city of Bangalore. And they have done this one free surgery. You know, in that whole maybe 5 years of their existence, and that got so much of news coverage. You know, he's coming on TV, sharing papers are carrying that story. Here we are doing it every day. You know, hundreds of them. I mean, every day at least are doing 10 surgeries which are free. Why don't we go and tell the press? He said, "See, if you have to do that, then we'll be doing only that because that is what we are doing all the time. You know, we have to do the work. You know, for them once in a while they do, so that's the big news. But this is what we do every day."
See, that is also, I don't want to go into all that, but when I went to New Zealand last, it was in 2012, one of my engagements was in Wellington, which is the capital of New Zealand, very windy city, and there was a Wellington Medical Center, it's a teaching hospital. New Zealand all is subsidized national healthcare. They take care of from cradle to grave. I was asked to speak during the lunch hour because it's very busy, nobody has any time. And so the hall was sort of 3/4 full, which was quite satisfying. So one fellow asked me, he talked about Narayan Hridayalaya and so on.
Yes.
So where do you stand in all that? He said, see, India is a vast tapestry of many sheets. The very rich people have very rich hospitals, which make you poor. Okay. Then ultimately, Narayan Hridayalaya has signed up with the Karnataka government.
Yes.
Whereby the government gives them insurance.
Yes.
And that insurance money comes to them. And so they are priced such that they get the money back.
Hmm.
And in fact, they had made a heart planned surgery. Something like industry.
Yeah.
And BBS, America, there is a public service. When the Henry Ford of heart surgery, they do 80,000, so the cost per surgery comes down. And that is recovered by this.
Yes.
I said, as far as this is concerned, even after all this help, 200 million people fall through the safety net. And as a sort of reminder, I said, New Zealand's population is 5 million. I'm talking of 200 million.
Mm.
Okay, which is Australia, Canada, and New Zealand put together and doubled or more than that. Those people need a safety net.
Yes.
The hospital established by Sai Baba is a model. And we have so many billionaires. They can easily afford to do this.
Yes.
But you set a model.
Yes.
So at least that was a shock to them. 200 million people, where will they go?
Yes.
And these things people don't understand.
I mean, what Swami has established are these amazing marvels of love, amazing marvels of what compassion can be, pure love can be. And as you always mention, that is what is prema, and that is the lesson that all of us have to take. Every chapter of Prema Vahini, as Professor Venkatraman always brings it to this point, because this book is entitled as Prema Vahini, the series of articles that Swami wrote way back in the mid-80s. This is in the 60s when the Sanatana Sarathi started, and Bhagwan called it Prema Vahini, and we see that every time Professor Venkatraman brings the discussion back to Prema, and I think that is something that all of us need to contemplate on, to dwell on, how to connect everything that Bhagwan is talking about to the practical life of leading a life of sacrifice and love. So dear listeners, time is running out, so we need to bring this discussion to a close now, but if you have the time, please turn the pages of Prema Vahini and do share with us your thoughts, your reflections. If you have any queries, we would be happy to discuss them in this forum every Thursday in this Vahini Satsang. So with prayers to Bhagwan, we bring this session to a close. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much. Sairam.